Jerome stood up. No, you stood up. I'm just saying what you did. Then you all started standing up. As I listened before she got to the chorus of God Bless America, and I'd never heard the quote before, but he wrote that song as a prayer. He wrote that song as a prayer to God. So, like the song or lump it, whatever, however you feel about it, that song was a prayer that the country got unified around. Huh. Who'd have thunk it that prayer would have drawn people together? And what just unbeknownst to everyone standing in here, and Jim even himself, when he asked me a few weeks ago to play the song, y'all just stood up in unison and prayed a prayer. Did you hear what I just said? Y'all just stood up in unison and prayed a prayer. In one accord, in respect to one issue. Father, today, teach your message. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm here today, and I had a meeting with the deacons for about 30 minutes. I brought up something a church member brought up to me several weeks ago. And I approached the deacons with it today. He said, Brother David, come in my office. And he don't ever come in my office. He comes to church and he serves God and he goes home and he worships God. But he came in my office. He said, Brother David, he said, have you ever had a teaching service? Have you ever done a teaching service? And it was on my heart to do one. But he brought it up. He said, because even us old folks, now this is what he said, and I'm just repeating him. He said, even us old folks need to be taught because we don't always get it every time. You hear what I'm saying? And everybody needs to be taught because we don't always get it every time. So today, we're going to do a couple of things today. I don't care if we have visitors, it doesn't matter. You need to hear this. If you're a child of God, you're here for a reason. We've got a demon. Yes, a demon that is actively working in this church, causing disunity and causing us not to be in one accord. Okay? For a long time now, we've had a demon working in our music. I'm calling it what it is. You hear what I'm saying? I'm calling it what it is. You see, because the day we tiptoe around here and don't call the demon out, guess what he's free to do? Live and reside and work in our church and God's church. And there's time out for it. We're not unified concerning the music. Did you hear what I said? We're not unified concerning the music. We're not unified even concerning how we should fill in the music while we're waiting to get the music filled. So we have a level of dysfunction that's going deeper than anyone can ever see and anyone can ever imagine. Yes, we as a body of believers are stronger now than we were a year ago. Yes. We are growing spiritually. That is why we are under attack spiritually. As we, the body of deacons, prayed in the office back there earlier, and we got done praying, Brother Kent prayed. And when we got done praying, Brother Brad went to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And he talked about how our spiritual battle is, how our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and dark forces in high places. This is where we are. So I'm calling today. I'm excited. I'm excited that we are about to fight and not each other. You hear what I'm saying? It's time to love your brother and take the gloves off towards the enemy. You hear what I'm saying? We've got new Christians in here. that need to learn how to properly fight a demonic spirit. We got new Christians in here that need to know, hey, my battle is not my neighbor across the street. We got old Christians in here that need to understand that you done got set in your ways and you need to come out of them. I didn't say old folks, I said old Christians. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today we learn. Today we grow up. And today we take it to the enemy. I told a friend, and I told the deacons this. I told a friend, I said, I'm excited because I'm in a battle right now. You're excited for a fight? Yeah. Because ain't nothing like being in a fight that you know you're going to win. Woo! You know you're going to win it. And when I sat there and I watched y'all stand up, and I was this close to not standing up, and I said, wow, look at them being unified, singing a prayer. Singing a prayer, and you stood up. Some of you may have stood up because you didn't want to be the only one not standing. Some of them may have stood up because you believed in the prayer you were singing, but you stood up. Today, some things are going to happen. If you're on the search committee for the choir director, please stand up. Okay. Come to the altar. Come try it right here in the middle. Come on. Turn around, face the congregation. Deacons, before you come up, hold on. You see these people? You see these people? They're charged with the responsibility to prayerfully consider the next leader of the music ministry. These people, they have a face. They have a responsibility. And now that you see their faces, some of you weren't here to vote on them. That Monday night when we voted on them, or Tuesday night when we voted on them, whatever day, you weren't here. But now I want you to see who's charged. And when they got charged, you got charged to pray for them. Because they have a spiritual challenge ahead of them. Because they have to be able to discern and not get the wrong one in there. Now I'm convinced as a pastor that we haven't prayed diligently the way we should have for this ministry. Okay? That's the first thing I'm calling out to this demon. That he's going to recognize that we're calling you out because you're no longer going to divide us concerning prayer for these people. You hear what God is saying? I need you all, if you're able, to come kneel in the altar. Kneel in the altar. Deacons, come forward. I've charged the deacons to lead us in prayer over these folks. John David Overstreet, you're going to lead the prayer. Wait till the deacons come up. And I need every head bowed and every eye closed. You're not watching a spectacle here. You're in a battle with us. And I need you bowing and praying with these people that are praying right now. John David Overstreet is going to lead us in the prayer. Lead it, pray so loud that not the church can hear you, but I want the demons in hell to hear you, and I want their cages rattling today from the power of God. John David. Amen. I need everybody to take their Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Go to verse 15. I sent this out in the email this week, so you should, and I pray you studied it. This is not the only place we're going to be. I need you to go ahead and find Nehemiah chapter 12. So you're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah chapter 12, starting in verse 27. And then Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. And when you get there, we're going to read that first. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 15 and 16. And Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. Are we at Proverbs? Starting in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Stop right there for a moment. Remember last week we read out of Psalms number 1 and it says how blessed. Same thing. How favored is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Today's purpose is to give you an understanding so you can apply wisdom in your life. What is wisdom? Wisdom is simply the application of knowledge in your life. You come to know something, you use it wisely. You learn how to drive a car, you should drive it wisely. It's not like one of them beer commercials that says drink responsibly, okay? It ain't that. Look at verse 14. For her profit, in other words, the gain of wisdom is better than silver, than gaining silver, okay? So please understand this. Gaining of wisdom is better than gaining silver, okay? And her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. So understand this. Your own personal desires, wants, and needs have nothing on the wisdom that God imparts in your life, okay? Now, let's keep reading. Verse 16. Long life is in her right hand. If you are wise in what you do, your life is extended because you're doing the things of God and the things that God has blessed you with. You're operating in a wise fashion, okay? So what God provides, what he brings, he is saying that you have long life when you use it wisely. Now let's keep reading. Verse 16, let's finish it up. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Now, this is where we kind of get derailed as Christians, especially when it comes down to the demon that we're fighting in our music ministry, okay? Because it's not always been peaceful, has it? Huh? There's been weeping and gnashing of teeth going on concerning the music ministry. So guess what that means? When we let that happen, that means we stop operating in wisdom and started operating more in our emotions of things, okay? So wisdom, here's what wisdom does. Her ways are pleasant and all her paths are peaceful. Doesn't say we're going to disagree, right? We're going to disagree. Y'all have disagreed with me. I've disagreed with you. But we can disagree peacefully until we get an understanding, until wisdom comes in and imparts itself. And we see, Satan doesn't want wisdom. This demon doesn't want wisdom. He wants us to openly operate in disunity. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. So the world can see that they're dysfunctional. I want no part of it. We keep people out. Yay, Satan's winning, right? But when we can respectfully even disagree and then still come in and understand that we got to apply wisdom here and find the right path and find the right way, Satan can't do anything with that. So wisdom, look at this, her ways are pleasant ways, okay? and all her paths are peace. Now look at this in verse 18. It's beautiful. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Now, that means that you have to actively take wisdom in your hand and do something with it. That's why it's called wisdom. It's the application of what you know, okay? Brother Johnny, you know some things, right? And in wisdom, you operate in those things. I don't know, what do you do for a living? I'm retired. You're retired, so you sit for a living. Okay, so Brother Johnny sits for a living, okay? And I bet he does it wisely. He understands, if my legs are going to get numb if I sit too long, so I need to get up, okay? And then once my legs get tired, I need to sit back down. You even need to operate in that type of wisdom, okay? So understand this. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. In other words, they take hold and they say, okay, I've got this knowledge. Let me take something and let me use it for something. Now look at this. And happy are all who hold her fast. Happy are all who hold her fast. What does that say? What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Anybody, our congregation can speak now, okay? I mean, we're teaching today. What does it mean? Happy are all who hold wisdom fast, who hold it tight, who hold it close. Happy are they. What does that mean? That means as a Christian, Brother Rip, guess what? You're going to be a certain way because you're operating in the wisdom that God has given you, and you have no reason to be downcast or upset or frustrated. Why? Because I'm operating in wisdom. I'm not operating according to the world. I'm not operating according to its ways, okay? And so my outcome is going to be pleasurable, so why not be happy even though I know I'm going through a hard time right now? Y'all, look, we know we're going through a hard time concerning the music in this church, correct? But we think it's easier for us to sit back and murmur and whisper and grumble to each other than it is to bring it out and talk about it, right? And see, and that's not the case. See, and as a pastor, it's my responsibility. Okay, let's call this demon what it is. John David said it in his prayer. We're coming to you. We're coming. We'll bring you because he ain't got nothing for us. He ain't got nothing for the children of God. When he sees us, he sees the blood and he sees us protected. And all he's trying to do is probe his way in. And guess what? Wisdom prevents him from probing his way in. You can't get in, devil. You can't get a foothold. But you see, the problem we have here is he already had a foothold. We just haven't called it out until today, publicly. He's called out. It's put out there. Ephesians 2, it's in the power of the air right now. But you see, what the thing about it is, though, it's in the power of the air. Satan knows it now, but he knows we're calling on the right one. See, we're doing just what Jesus did his 40 days in the wilderness. He calls Satan out every time through the word of God. He never wrapped his emotions up in it. He never wrapped his feelings up in it. He never wrapped up how he's always done it in it. He called it out for what it was, and he said, this is the scripture. You ain't going to live by bread alone. You got to have some meat. Today, you start getting meat. Because those of us that have been sitting here for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, sucking on the cow udder. Oh, yeah, I said that. It's time to take the cow to the slaughterhouse and get the steaks. Now, verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the skies dripped with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. In other words, keep it close to you. Y'all, wisdom is part of your makeup. So let's start operating wisely. Let's stop hiding from the truth, and let's stand according to the truth. Now take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel. Any questions? Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 15. Amy, I love preaching in cowboy boots, just so you know. Thank you. Kind of makes me taller, makes me feel like I got a little more authority. All I need is a couple of silver six-shooters, right? Anyway, verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Now, there's a reason why we're going to stand on that scripture for a little bit. And the reason is, if you read the first scripture, the first few words in verse 15, read it, Blair. Verse 15. Go ahead, you got time. Okay. Understand. I will tend my flock. I will feed my flock. Understand, this is God in charge of the sheep. This is God. And guess what? When he says, I will tend, I will feed, he's going to do it his way. See, what we hear all day long from the right and from the left is, well, I don't like those songs. Or I don't like that song. Hey, look, this ain't a Hall & Oates song. You ain't got to like it, okay? This is totally different, okay? This is totally different. See, because at some point in time, we forget that we're part of his flock. You see what I'm saying? He said, I will feed my sheep. So that means, guess what? He owns the sheep. And when you own the sheep do what you tell them to do. You got it? I know everybody's tired of me preaching about my Mustang, but I'm going to tell you something, okay? I own that Mustang with me in the bank. But I understand this. That car does what I tell it to do. It starts when I say start. It stops when I put my foot on the brake pedal. It shifts gear when I pull the gear handle. You understand? So it may not want to do, because let me tell you something. If I ever take my hands off the wheel, it's going to do what it wants to do, ain't it? And what's the first thing that it's going to do is go off the road and it's going to crash because it ain't got nobody in control. See, that's the first thing that happens the moment we say, I like this song and I like that song. We say, God, give me the music, God. I got it better than you do. And this is for everybody. I don't want nobody sitting out here today, sitting here thinking, well, they always want to sing them old songs. I don't like that rock music. We're going to deal with that too. So those of you, and I'm going to call it what it is as well, those of you on the contemporary side and those of you on the traditional side, you're both wrong. Let me say that again in front of everybody. Those of you on the contemporary side and those of you on the traditional side, you're both wrong. Because you're God's sheep. And you're going to sing what he wants you to sing. You ain't going to sing what the pastor wants. You hear what I'm saying? You ain't going to sing what you feel like is working well in this church and that church. This ain't no concert stage. You hear what I'm saying? That's right. And I don't care what comes from up here. It better be coming from out there. Now, what did I just do? What did I just do? What did I just do? Tell me what I just did. Called it out. Did you say I cussed? Oh, I fussed. Okay, lady. She saw the daddy face. So now we're putting to bed those of you that are sitting here complaining about whether we sing slow songs or fast songs. You understand? It's not that. You're fighting the wrong battle. You're in the wrong war when you're worried about slow songs, fast songs. You're in the wrong war if you're worried about whether it's plucked on the piano or plucked on the guitar. You hear what I'm saying? You're in the wrong war. And that's not your war. And Satan's got you fooled. You're in the wrong war if you think we ought to sing two praise and worship by third day and two old hymnals. You're in the wrong war. That's not the battle. Because here's the message. You're not in here every Sunday to get what you want. You're in here to give God for what he has done. Clear? I'm calling it out, y'all. So he says I'll feed my flock. Now, if you are part of the kingdom of God, guess whose flock you're in? God's. So guess the next question is, You need to ask God what he wants and put what you want away. Clear? Now, we saw 26 children in the town of Incarnation saying, we need more Jesus. Woo, woo! You talking about getting up under somebody right there. And then they called out. What were the words in the song when they said, get more Jesus? Peace? Peace, love, hope, and joy. Yeah, amen! Those are the names we need to be calling out. Now, I want you to understand something. We're here celebrating a time of year where we ought to be able to sing one song in one accord. But we was up here in this choir loft a few weeks ago trying to get lead, sucking wind, because we wasn't in one accord. See, now next week, Miss Becky and Miss Jan are going to be leading us in Christmas carols. And we ought to be able to sing a celebration of our Savior. In peace, love, joy, and what was the other one? Hope. I hope we can do it. See, that's what Jesus, that's what God is imparting in our lives, okay? So when he says, I will feed my flock, I'm going to give you exactly what you need to survive and eat and what's going to make you successful. Open your mouth. There you go. Take it off. That's what you do. Has anyone ever seen a sheep get led into a pasture and go, oh, God, I don't like that grass. That's zoysia. I don't eat that. When he opens up the gate, the sheep walk in and they just start, nom, 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 nom. They start chewing. They ain't complaining about it being salty. They ain't complaining about it being brown. They ain't complaining that they ain't got no ketchup. He opens the gate. This is where you're going to get fed today. Okay, Lord. And they go in and they eat. Oh, but you got a few of the sheep going over there. Oh, look at them. That's what we look like Sunday morning. Half the church over there. You see that? They raised their hand. What's wrong with them? And then we go into the other passion and the other half going, oh. Oh, it's just so slow. That same stuff. Oh, gosh. Ain't none of y'all saying that when them country music singers singing and all that other stuff. Y'all all just, yeah, yeah, y'all got it going on then, don't you? Eat what God put before you. Now look at this next part. And he says, I will lead them to rest. See, that's the next thing. Church has become too much work for you. You're grudgingly getting through the services just because you don't like the songs. I don't like that song, so I ain't coming back. Okay. Hope that works for you. It's going to be lonely. Because you can't say that when you get to heaven. And I'll say this, even if you're going, have any one of you ever thought about it for one moment? We're all wrong. We're giving God what he wants. We're sitting on our stump of pride because we don't like something because it's new and it's different. But I'm here to tell you right now, back in 1898, when this was written, it was new. And I bet you somebody had a problem with it then. And now, and then back in 1898 when this was written, some of y'all contemporary folks, you need to understand some of it's right. So suck it up. You hear what I'm saying? So now, and y'all, before this message was even presented to me, God didn't even have me load my gun. I wasn't even worried about having to run out of here because I'm worried about, I look, because you know what? I look out and I see the sea of faces in here. And let me tell you what I see. I don't see my enemy. You hear me? You're not my enemy. I love you. And because I love you, guess what my responsibility is? To snatch you up out of the fire. Read Jude chapter 1, verse 23. To snatch you from the fire that you're in, which is confused and dazed by tradition and legalism and everything else you can tie to it. Any isms that you can think of, guess what? They're holding you back. Verse 16. God says this, I will seek the lost. That's a direct promise from God. And what he's doing right now through this message, through this word, is he's seeking you. Because guess what? Even though you're saved and going to heaven, you're lost concerning this issue. You are. Okay? I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, which is what we are. Not completely. But on this matter, we are. We're busted, okay? Now look at this. And strengthen the sick. So he's here to get us well. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. You see, those that think they know it all and got it right, woo-woo, don't be that person. Don't be that person that acts like the final judgment rests with you and what you feel is right and what you feel is wrong. I'm the pastor, and I can't do that. I got to base it on the Word of God. I can't stand here and say, well, let me tell you. Now, if you come in here and talk to me about homosexuality, and yes, we're recording this, and somebody's going to hear it, and you're going to hear, hey, he's preaching against homosexuality, and guess what I'm going to say is, yes, I did, because it's wrong, because God considers it's abomination. But guess what I based all that on? That right there, the Word of God. It's still not my opinion. It's what God says. You hear what I'm saying? It's what God said. And so that same judgment we sit in here indignant over because we're not singing this song or that song is the same judgment God's going to shove down your throat when it comes time for judgment. And if anybody's ever been force-fed anything, let me tell you something. You ain't got no time to chew. You got to swallow. So take your Bibles and go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 27. I hope you're learning. I hope you remember Proverbs 3 and you're taking this as wisdom. I don't want anyone, you know what, you might get offended and you might get your feelings hurt. And you know what, I'm sorry if that happens. I can't help that. But I'm not sorry for the Word of God that says this is the way we ought to be, y'all. Joy, peace, hope, love. Fighting a battle against spiritual things and not each other. So look at verse 27 in Nehemiah. And I want you to understand something about Nehemiah. It's unique. It's very unique. Because we're always taught about Nehemiah that, well, they rebuilt the wall and they overcame this and they overcame that. But Nehemiah was more about rebuilding the nation than rebuilding the wall. It was about getting them all spiritually in one accord. And that's what they had to do. When they were building one hand and fighting with the sword in the other, they were in one accord. So understand this. In verse 27, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. I don't see a baby grand piano listed there, do you? But that's not even the issue. Look at what happened. Let's go back and read and understand. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness. The dedication of the wall that was rebuilt, that was torn down. Understand, They came into this wall, into this city, to celebrate what great things God has done. And it wasn't about the wall. It was about what God did in their lives. He showed an entire world that you cannot defeat me, you cannot beat me down, and you cannot beat my people, my sheep, because I feed my flock. Now look at this. A dedication with gladness, look at this, with hymns of thanksgiving. There's the word, hymns. Short definition of the word hymn, a song of praise to God. Our definition of hymn, old songs that I like. Huh? The correct definition of hymn, a song of praise to God. The 21st century definition of hymn, old songs that I like. Where's the problem? It's not about God, it's about what I like. But they're singing, amen. Come on, Mark. They're singing songs of hymn to praise to our God. Wow. What happened there? And they were singing praise to God. Why? Because they wanted to celebrate something. What did they want to celebrate? You see, here's the problem. Why you can't sing a hymn? Why you can't sing a praise to our God? Why you can stand there and fold your arms up and do it for me, John. There you go. Why you can do that is because at some point in time in your walk with God, you forgot that your walk with God was about him and thought it was about you. At some point in time, while you were walking in and you forgot why you graced them doors. You see, that's why Psalm 100 says, I enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. What do you got to be thankful for? That you're not dead and going to hell. If that ain't enough, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to tell you. So the songs will never be what you like. But God will always be the one for you. He's never changing. He's the same. He's the same God that sings victory in Jesus. He's the same one that sings, oh, your love, oh, Lord, Psalm 36. He's the same one that you sing to. But somewhere down the road, someone got it in their mind that I want somebody to perform a Christmas musical for me so I can sing Christmas music. I sing Christmas music all year long, y'all. I thank you, Miss Susan, me and Mr. We're simpatico, aren't we? All year long, I sing Christmas music because he's not tied to an event. He's not tied to what my opinion is. I praise him for his birth. Because it was the beginning of the end of my suffering. I can sing, hey, we got these songs that we sing about the cross during Easter. I sing it all the time because every day I'm reminded of how renewed my life is through Jesus Christ. See, so at some point in time, contemporary and traditional determined that they were looking for a church that's going to give them the music that they like. And can a person in here tell me they ain't never heard somebody say that before? But they just don't sing the music that I like. Tough rocks. Okay? It's tough. Because Jim leading that offertory, you hear what I'm saying? Jim leading this offertory was about him stepping up and saying, God, I don't care what nobody else thinks. He might have a little bit. I would have been too. And then he picked a song nobody knew. But guess what he did? He did it anyway, and he let it belt out there. Praise God. Praise God. Because he determined that, you know what? Wait a minute. I don't care if I can sing or not. You can't, by the way, but it's all right. I had to, man. It wasn't about him. And if I had been paying attention, guess what? I wouldn't care what he sounded like up there. I listened to the children, and they sang, and some of them stood there, you know, like, oh, goodness, there's a lot of people out here. Some of them, they started snapping their fingers. But they were up here. Y'all just don't know what y'all ain't been learning. And what they have been learning. Look at verse 28. So look at this now. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, I'm sorry, and from Beth-Gilgal and from their fields to Geba and Asmapheth. The singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. Verse 30, the priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Now understand this. These folks went to get ready to present themselves to God. 9 times out of 10, you walk in here not even ready to present yourself to God. I said it. The very fact that somebody's got to get you crunked up with some music that you like. Listen to it on the way here. But be ready for God when you get here. Hopefully you've had him in the car with you all the way down here. And you've walked in singing. And you ain't got to wait for a countdown to get started. I'm already started. Engine's warm. Blood's flowing. I'm not laying down looking at the roots. I'm above plucking the daisies. Praise God. I got something to sing about. Huh? Do you know God had a procedure for the choir? Look at verse 31. Then I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and look what happened. I appointed two great choirs. Woo. God had the men of God appoint the choir. God had the men of God appoint the choir. Now, wasn't nothing in there that said, none of the choir members said, well, what kind of songs y'all gonna be singing in the choir? We gonna do, you got song books? Are we going to be doing this? Are we going to be doing that? Are we going to be doing this? Is this? How are we going to decorate this? How are we going to decorate that? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? The men of God said, come on, choirs. And look what happened. And I appointed two great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall to the refuse gate. Hoshaziah and half of the leaders of Judah followed them with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the sons of the priests with trumpets. And Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph. Now, woo, Asaph, stop. You need to focus on that name. Because I'm going to give every one of y'all assignment. Go read Psalm 73 through 83. Because that's who wrote them. Yes. Yes. And his kinsmen, Shemaiah, Azarel, Malaliah, all these names. Okay? And then look what happened. I want you to go down to verse 38. The second choir proceeded to the left, while I followed them with half of the people on the wall above. Now look at this. The choir was leading, but the people were following. Ooh. So, Mr. and Mrs. member of I Want to Be in the Choir and Sing in the Choir, guess what you've become? Now this is the other part. You've become a leader. You've become a leader. And I know you got to stand up here and sing the people out here with sad sack faces on, looking like they just ate a bag of raw oysters. I understand that. And that you can't get them, you know, like there's no life in anyone. I understand that. I understand that. I'm not trying to insult you, but you don't know what they see when you're out there. Because you're trying to get pleased and the movie just ain't what you want to see. The choir led. The choirs were led by the men of God, and then the choirs led the people. And look what happened. Okay? Go down to verse 40. Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God. So did I and half the officials with me. Look at that. They took their stand. Now go down to verse 43. And on that day, look at what happened. They offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and the children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Wow! They rejoiced in what God had done. Not because the wall was built, but because he was with them and he carried them and he walked with them and he did everything for them. And they praised God for what he has done. What has he done for you? What has he done for you, church? Yeah. And that ain't enough. Every day you come in here and complain about whether it's contemporary or traditional, you're telling God, God, your death on the cross wasn't sufficient. Now that stings, don't it? Every time you come in here and say the pastor only listens to this one and that one, you're saying you're not satisfied. I ain't got no side. I ain't got no dog in this hunt right now. You want to know why? Because all I desire from you is to worship God. Because that's all God desires. You see, that's the only thing. And that's what's getting us in one accord, is that we desire to worship the one true living God. I wish we could get rid of the split screens and use the one in the middle so we're all looking in the same direction at the same words. Because right now, we got choices. And I'm here to tell you, you ain't got no choice. You ain't got no choice. This ain't the buffet of music. So the demon has been called out. The message is clear. We find God generated a choir, and he led the leaders to do it. So what we're going to do right now is we're about to get on one accord. We've prayed for the search committee. We're going to pray for this body of believers. I need three deacons. Jim, John David, you're acting deacon. Joel, come up here to the choir. Go. Yeah, I don't care if you get behind the board. It doesn't matter to me. Kent, come on. Mike, come on. Don, come on. Y'all face the choir. Y'all come right here. Face here. Brad, that door. Mike, that door. Okay, where's my other deacon? Ernie, this door. Jason, that door. I'm not blocking y'all again in like I did last time. I understand that. Am I missing any more deacons? Where are my other deacons? I got everybody I can. Brother Rip, I understand. You stay right there. I'm going to need you to just be praying, okay? Eric, where's Eric? Eric, you know, he's got the sound booth because that's got to be prayed over also because that's another place where the demons are attacking. All you youth on the back row, come here. Come here. Huh? Brother Ty, where's Ty? There you are. You said something. Come on up. Come on. Come on. You need you up front. Come on, youth. Who else? Any other deacons anywhere? Come on, youth. Okay. I want you to sit right over here. Get with Brother Rip. Hold his hand. I need you to get with Brother Frank. Hold his hand. Okay. I need you to come over here. Get with Miss Millie. Hold her hand. Miss Millie, she's right here. The sweet lady gives us all the cards right here. Come on. Need you to get with Miss Patsy. Okay, come here. Yeah, I need you to get right here with Johnny. Okay, you come on. I need you to get with Liz. Come on. I need you to get with JR right here. Okay, come on, parents.
I need you to get with Miss D back there in the back. Okay. Come on, Katie. I don't need you here. Where are we at? Yeah. Go over there and get with Miss Pam Franklin over there on the far side. Miss Pam Franklin. Miss Pam, raise your hand. If you don't know them, if you hear me call your name and they don't know you, raise your hand. Y'all need to get to knowing each other's names too. Matthew, go up there with Trey. Any more youth over here? Any more youth? Get with Trey. Trey, raise your hand. Matthew, you know where he is, right here. Miss Pam, come with me. Need you to sit with Miss Margaret. Pray. Brother Steve, come on. Need you to go back here with Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby, raise your hand. That's where I need you to go. Miss Kim, come here. Robert, raise your hand. Need you praying over here with Robert. Chris, come on. Not you, Chris. This Chris. Chris Roper. Come on. Miss Ruby, come on. I need you to get over here by Jerry. Come on, Chris. You're on the far side over here. All y'all together. All y'all together. Okay, we got that, we got that. You come on. Mandy. Bonnie, come on. No, I need you with Georgia. Lydia, I need you with Jennifer. Kelly, Jonathan, come here. Trying to make sure we got it right. Get with Sam Grace. Amy, come here. We'll actually go back there with Heather and Eric. Jonathan, come here. Need you over there with Wayne Tate and Brenda. This group right here, need you to turn, get oriented where you're holding each other's hand, this whole group. Not you, JR, you hold on where you are. Y'all are there? There. Okay, you got Frank, Miss Mary, Miss Clara, Sheila, all y'all together. Miss Pam, join them, please. If you're at left, I need you connected. I need you to connect. Miss Kathy, get on over. Just join. Okay. Now, anybody want to take an idea of what I've done right now? Yeah. Because that's the other division. I hadn't made y'all yet, but y'all sitting in the same goofy seats every single week. And you notice, I got this front pew right here, the ones that hear the worst, getting away from their and understand. Because right now, we're going to get in one accord and understand the needs of each other, and we're also going to pray for each other, and then guess what's going to happen? We're going to understand each other that we can get past all of this. I need y'all to get in with Brother Ed. We're going to get past all of this and come united as one voice in prayer so the music is no longer an issue here. You understand? Now, we're not going to say one massive prayer after everyone else that's in this group gets done praying. Deacons at the door, your specific prayer is to just bind the demons of hell out of here. You hear me? Men up at the choir, specifically finding that when whatever choir gets up there, they are unified and in one voice and they're singing no matter what's going on out here. Okay? Deacons here in the altar here, you're praying for an outpouring of the Spirit for lives to be changed and demons to be broken. Everyone else, praying for each other and with each other. Matthew, you're going to learn a lot from Brother Rip. You're going to learn a lot from Brother Frank. You understand that? And Brother Rip, you're going to learn a lot from Matthew. Y'all see it? Y'all see this? We ain't going to be fighting. Y'all get locked up together. Family squabbles are just that. Same thing. And that's the next thing I'm going to tell you right now. Part of this disunity is coming in from a dysfunction in the house. Get it together. Men, grab hold of your households and tell Satan to get out and stand on the holy word of God and start reading the Bible. And let me tell you something. Wives, listen to your husbands. Unless they're out drinking and gallivanting and sleeping with everyone, you better start listening to them. And men of God, start acting like you got something to teach them. That's a sidebar message, but that's part of the problem. And everybody quit worrying about what you want from this point forward. You are no longer worried about what you want. You better figure out right now what God wants in your life.
So I'm going to lead a prayer. Now I'm going to get nice. I'm going to lead a prayer. And then after I get done, when I say amen, each group that's sitting together, start praying. You hear me? Somebody get that phone. Come on, deacons, y'all link lock up together here. Okay? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we come before you right now, we come before you as a body of believers right now, standing strong, Lord God, unified and in one accord, young with old, old with young, men and women, everyone standing together, Lord God. Right now, we humbly ask, Lord God, we don't have the authority, but you do have the authority empowered in us to bind the demons of hell off of this church. Lord God, I pray right now that you get us into one accord, into one body, Lord God, singing that unified voice as they did in Nehemiah, praises to you for the great things you have done. Lord God, I lift up each and every church member in here, that you strengthen them, O Lord, that this prayer is heard, and that, Lord God, they strive to listen to you. Lord God, take the selfishness out of this church. Lord God, take the pettiness out of this church. Lord God, take the opinion out of this church. Lord God, we call out the demon of disunity and division. And Lord God, we ask, simply ask, Lord God, that you bind it in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that you take that demon and you cast him far away from us. Lord God, we pray today that you take any demonic spirit that is over our music and take full authority. Help us, Lord God, to give you full authority over everything that's going on in this church, including the music. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to stand and call things as they are so that we'll know how to fight. Help us, Lord God, to be bold. Help us, Lord God, to be united. Help us, Lord God, to be kind and loving to one another. And so, Lord God, as I pray to you today, I've come praying for a church that stands in need of you, Lord God, to tear down the walls of division and sit on your throne of righteousness and holiness and take full authority in this church. Lord God, let this church not be about one man. Let this church not be about one choir, but let it be about one voice singing to you, Lord God. And Lord God, as I pray to you today, I lift you up, and I know that you're able, and I know that you're all powerful, and I know that we're coming to the right source. Help us, O Lord. Teach us, O Lord, to worship you. Take the words contemporary. Take the words traditional. Take the words old songs. Take the words new songs out of our mouth and let us sing a song to you. Let us not be divided. Let us stand strong. Let us honor you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, each one of you groups, pray out loud. Each person praying. Let them hear you. Speak to them. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation. He's redeemed us. Are you redeemed? 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 Then live it and sing it and be it. And don't come back down this road again. Woo! Oh, Lord. Help her. And worthy to be praised. Walk out of here singing. We can, let's walk out of here singing to him. Just belt it out. We don't need a piano or whatever. Just whatever's on your heart.